morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's just so good to be back here today, and we just thank God again, as always, for His grace and mercy. I'm excited about the Word. We're getting back into talking about the Holy Spirit and Him speaking into our lives. But I want to thank you so much for staying connected to EBCNC.com and through our app. The Lord has blessed us tremendously through that. Thank you for your giving. You've been giving through the app or sending it into our secure mailbox, or if you're an in-person service, and we have been blessed. We have our 8:45 in-person service with masks, also our 10 o'clock online, and we've got our 10:45 in-person with masks. So we've been tremendously blessed during this season. I just thank God how He's saving souls, delivering people, setting people free. And today we have something special. We have a baby dedication. Yes, we get to dedicate Ezra Morgan, and we just thank God for his family coming forth, wanting this service to lift up their son to the Lord, that he will be blessed and his steps be ordered of the Lord. So without further ado, I'm going to let you participate with me in our baby dedication. See you soon.
So I'm going to ask the parents if you stand at this time, please. Actually, you stand here and you face the rest of the family. Yeah. As you stand there, I know that y'all got so many things to go in the future. But this dedication is not just about Ezra. It's about you all, too. So I'm just going to go through some things, and I pray that you'll agree. And you can just say, we agree. Do you agree to pray over little Ezra on a daily basis? Do you agree to strive to raise little Ezra in the fear of the Lord in the coming days? Do you agree to discipline little Ezra when he needs to be disciplined so that he can be a productive part of society and be used by the Lord? I totally agree. All right. At this time, can you take little Ezra out and to the family as he's unclicking? I'm just going to give you one. Do you agree that you'll pray for little Ezra, and if you see him going astray and the parents are not doing what they need to do, that y'all will step up and correct? Do you agree? Amen.
He's okay.
Father, I just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I just lift up Ezra, Lord. I thank you for this time of dedication. God, I don't take these for granted. Lord, this family has been through so much, and they've lost so much, but yet they've gained so much. I can sense their heart, Lord. They want to do the right thing, God. They want you to be lifted up in their lives, and I thank you for this life that I hold right now. Lord, you have blessed him in an amazing way. Lord, the issue is we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what his future is, but we know you're in charge of our futures. So right now, I come against anything that the enemy may mean for Ezra's harm, and I pray a covering upon his life. God, I pray that he will grow up to be a mighty man of God. Lord, I pray that he will be able to speak into people's lives, Lord, and he'll stay on the right track, Lord. I thank you, God, that his studies will come easy to him, Lord. He'll have good friends surrounding him. And I thank you, Father, that he will be such an important part of this family. Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing him to be born in this generation, Lord, and for the purpose to be fulfilled in his life. Thank you, God, for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. I pray over these parents, God. Would you cover them? Would you keep them? Help them to make the right decisions, Lord. That's not just about them, God, but about the foundation in this little man's life. I thank you, God, that his name is even prophetic, Lord, scriptural, that you're going to use him in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As you stand up there, let me give you this. That was an amen. He sneezed on me. First thing I want to give you is this little New Testament. The issue is he can't read, but I want y'all to really try to read it to him on a daily basis if you can, just maybe a scripture, because that's important. I know so many things that I have now is because my parents, some of the things they did, they prayed, keeping me in church, keeping me in that fellowship. So that's going to be important as you're training him up. Also, I want to give you this certificate. I want to read some of it. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, a future and a hope. Presented to Ezra J. Morgan, who was dedicated in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at Ebenezer Baptist Church today, Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. There are going to be some days in the future he's going to act crazy, and you're going to be like, oh, Lord, I want you to keep that in your archives, because you can bring it up and go, we dedicated you. Now, he's got to make a decision to follow Christ for himself. But at least you can say, we did what we did. He was prayed over, dedicated in the name of Jesus to the Lord. And I know God will honor your faithfulness.
I'll go if I have to go by myself. Have to go by myself. Just repeat after me. I'll go if I have to go by myself. Oh, if my mother don't go, my father, sister, brother, I'll go on and on if I have to go by myself. I'll sing if I have to sing by myself. Y'all, come on, help me. Get rid of the mask. I'll sing if I have to sing by myself. Oh, my mother, with my father, sister, I only have two more brothers. I'll go on and on if I have to go by myself. I'll sing if I have to sing by myself. I'll do that. I'll sing if I have to sing by myself. If my pastor don't sing, if the first lady don't sing, if my children, if my brother, I'll sing on and on and on if I have to sing by myself. Oh, send me out. You can send me. If my mother don't go, send me, I go. If my family don't go, I go. Send me, I go. One of these old mornings won't be very long. You gonna look for me. I'll be gone on home. Oh, I go on and on if I have to go by myself. Say.
I'm just happy to be a part of the body of Christ and just what the Lord is doing in this season and time. Well, as we get back into our study for today, we've been dealing with the power of the Spirit and just how he's working in our lives. And I truly pray that as we are going through this series, we have been going through the series, that you've been more aware of the Spirit's control, that He is intimately connected with us on a daily basis. We just need to ask Him to lead in prayer and staying in God's Word. Our topical scripture that we've been focusing on is that Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then that second verse, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And this is the part that we've really been dealing with, especially in our lives. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And that's the transformative power that God has allowed to be on the inside of us. Man, I could preach about that again, but He is changing us from the inside out. Remember that theological term that I had given you for what we're going through or what we're studying. It's called pneumatology. So using pneumatology, or the study of the breath of God, and that knowledge of God gives us the understanding that we're studying that Spirit, that powerful Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. Before we go any further, I just want to pray and welcome the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for who You are. We just welcome You, Holy Spirit. Would You please teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray that if there's someone that's listening in, viewing, that does not know You, would You help them today to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, You have raised them from the dead. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves, but it's a gift of You. That Ephesians chapter 2 also talks about Your great mercy and love, Lord. Let them experience that today. Lord, we thank You that it is Your anointing that makes the difference in our lives. Thank You for that transformative power of making this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like You. We just give You praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get into our section of scripture today, I want you to go and follow along with us. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to look at around that fifth verse. Romans chapter 8:5. Listen to these words. Amazing. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I'm going to read that again. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're going to deal with a title today of this subject matter we're dealing with today, the Spirit-led life. The Spirit-led life. The Spirit-led life. I want you to get that. You might want to put it in the chat, the Spirit-led life. Those who are sitting in your living rooms or other places, just kind of get that in your mind, because I really want you to have that thought in your mind on a daily basis, that you want the Spirit to lead you. The time frame is about AD 57. Paul the Apostle, just intimately acquainted with God, his transformative power that's occurring on the inside of him, started on the Damascus Road. And now Paul understands, as he's being led of the Holy Spirit, how to put these things down, because the Spirit is speaking that we could understand him, that the churches of that time could understand him. As we enter into this section of Romans chapter 8 and these scriptures, this whole section really is a foundational teaching on the Spirit of God. It shows us how to live a balanced life of victory in God on a daily basis. Somebody say victory. Yeah, that we can live in victory no matter what we're going through on a daily basis. And also, it brings out the significance of the Spirit in helping us to conform, and I'll use that word again, to transform, to be more like Christ. That is the job of the Holy Spirit, to change us from the inside out, that when people look at us, that they can see Christ. They can see the image of Christ emanating from us, and more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of Christ. Let's jump into that first and second verse of Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. First point for our note takers, and just to get something to kind of hang all these thoughts on that we'll be dealing with, walk according to the Spirit. Walk according to the Spirit. Now for the Christians, that should be, you know, a normal thing. But often in our lives, we struggle. We go through actually walking according to the Spirit. Let me show you a little closely as we look at this Romans 8:1. That first part, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So this is very powerful, no condemnation. So most of the time, a lot of times we read these words, we just go, okay, no condemnation, and don't really understand what that means. The word condemnation in the Greek, it's a big word, is katakrima. And that katakrima actually stands for something that's so wonderful. It indicates that we're not servants to the penalty for our sin, but that guilt and penalty have been removed at the cross. Hallelujah. There should be some shouting. That we're not. That God is saying that now He's freed us by way of His Spirit, by what Christ has done in our lives. That last part of Romans 8:1, it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The question is, how are we walking? How are you walking? We should not be walking according to the flesh, but we should be walking to the Spirit. I was just thinking of some examples that we can kind of grasp our minds around. I've had to deal with alcoholics in my life, and I've had to deal with people who were alcoholic, or they drank on the weekend, but they had to be functioning during the week. And during the week, they would be that normal person, but on the weekend, they would actually change. They would be actually walking according to the alcohol on the weekend. Their personalities would change. And then on that Monday or Tuesday, they would sober back up. And then they would be right walking according to who they normally are. But the scriptures say here, as we look at that, it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but we need to be walking according to the Spirit. And the question comes into our lives, how many times have we been walking according to the flesh? Have we been inebriated, not in the Spirit, but we've been inebriated in the flesh, and we've been about the enemy's business, not God's business? Theologian Farstad, he gives us a compelling thought. He writes, the characteristic principle of indwelling sin is to drag a person down to death. It is like the law of gravity. When you throw a ball into the air, it comes back down because it is heavier than the air it displaces. But on the contrary, the other side of that, it says a living bird is also heavier than the air it displaces. Listen to this. When you toss it up in the air, it flies away. I love this part. The law of life in the bird overcomes the law of gravity. Hallelujah. There ought to be some shouts in the house. God has given us a way to change things, that gravity does not pull us down, but the Spirit's life dwells in us. And then that next part, it says, so the Holy Spirit supplies the risen life of the Lord Jesus, making the believer free from the law of sin and death. Are you excited about that? I'm talking about the Spirit-led life. Look at Romans chapter 8 and that third verse. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here's another point. Jesus has given us the gift of the Spirit. Jesus has given us the gift of the Spirit. Now, please understand, if you are saved, you have the Spirit. You had to have the Spirit. We're going to talk about that more. That is the salvation process that takes place as we come into Christ. He's given us a gift, but so often we can receive a gift and not open it. Any amens? I know some of you just got through Mother's Day and gifts were given to you, and I pray that you open it. I've told this story before. I knew a lady, an older lady, that she had gotten gifts in her life, and she just got tired of opening the gifts. She had everything that she needed, and so she would just put the gifts downstairs in the basement, and after she passed away, all of these gifts were still wrapped down in the basement that she never took time to open up. Could that be in our lives, that he's given us the gift of the Spirit, but we just haven't taken time to look into the box, to understand what he's doing on the inside of us? Romans 8:3, that first part, looking at a little closely, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son. That is good news. God says what the Old Testament couldn't do via the law, God changed it in the New Testament, and he sent Christ, the anointed one, to deliver us and set us free. 1 Peter 2:21 gives us an understanding of this. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteous. I'm talking about the Spirit-led life. Verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The Spirit-led life. God wants us to understand the awesome price that was paid for us via Jesus on the cross of Calvary, so that we can walk a Spirit-led life, that we can allow God to be foremost in everything that we do. 2 Corinthians 3:17, we can celebrate it now. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, listen to this, are being transformed into the same image from the glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit-led life. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, saying this again, is to change us to look more like Christ. The question is, who are you looking like? When you look into that mirror of liberty, are you looking more like Christ and what he's done for us, or are you leaning more to the flesh and the ways of the world and what the enemy wants? Looking close at that 8:4, the last part, it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, it is interesting, as we look at this chapter, if you would go in and count the how many times we see the Spirit, and that's why I said this is a foundational teaching on the Spirit, it's like 19 times that it talks about the Spirit and this changing process, this transformative process. You think God is trying to get something across to us, that's the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit is just not something that's manifest on a Sunday, but we need to be filled with the Spirit on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When we're on our jobs, we need to have a fullness of the Spirit. When we're going into Walmart or Lowe's or Food Line, we need to have the fullness of the Spirit. When we're driving our cars, we need to have the fullness of the Spirit, because that is the gift that God has given us, that we can be led of the Spirit. Look at Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is a powerful one. Think what the Spirit thinks. Think what the Spirit thinks. Now, as I'm processing that, I'm thinking about, man, how often do we really focus in and say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, speak. Or even, good morning, Holy Spirit, to recognize what God has put on the inside of us. Look closer to this Romans 8:5, that first part. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. What does that exactly mean? In the Greek, again, I'm bringing you another word. It's called phronio. Phronio, that's the Greek word for mind. It means to have something as the habit of your thought, something in which you place a total interest. The question is, what is dominating our minds? Yes, on a daily basis, what is dominating? What is controlling our mind? What is leading? Some people live in anxiousness, and some people live in fear. Some people live in lust. Some people have their minds caught up in just the things of this world on a daily basis. Some are caught up in just food. But God says, I want your mind to be stayed on the spirit, not on the fleshly things, but the spirit. I need you to live according to the spirit and not to the flesh. The Lord kind of put this thought on my mind to kind of sum up the thought of what does it mean to be spirit filled, to be spirit led, to be spirit controlled. He put this on my heart. He said, the spirit led life is one of prayer, worship, self-control, Bible reading, in Christ's betrayal. I want to read that again because it kind of sums up what we should look like when we're having a spirit-led life. The spirit-led life is one of prayer. How's your prayer life? I'm talking about, are you intimate with God? Is it more than just praying over your food? Are you having a conscious time with God, an extended period of time on a daily basis with the Lord? Not just when you're in your car. You should be praying when you're in your car. But when you go into your secret closet, that's what Jesus said. That means that a time that you set aside to be with God, worship. How's your worship? Worship is not something we see other folks do. Worship is something that we do as we focus on God. When is the last time you became intimate and acquainted and just said, God, I just want to thank you. I just want to praise you. And you lifted up your hands while you're all by yourself. You're focused in and giving God worship, self-control. How is it self-control? Is your flesh controlling you? Are you controlling your flesh? Your Bible reading? Are you reading the Word of God on a daily basis for an extended period? When you compare everything else you're reading, if you're a student, and many of you are graduating, have graduated, are you reading more material that's of the world than you're reading God's Word? And because all this coming together, as we are having a spirit-led life, we will have Christ's portrayal. Christ will be shown in us. We will be, again, the image of Christ as the Holy Spirit is changing us from the inside out, the spirit-led life. Look at Romans 8, 6, and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Listen to this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Here's a point. A choice of life or death. It's a choice. A choice of life or death. The spirit-led life is going to give us life. But when we choose to walk in the flesh, that leads to death. There ought to be some amens in the house. I really want you to get this because God wants more from the body of Christ. These are some dark days. There's so much that are coming on, and God wants us to be able to step up in Him. He wants to use us more and more. Looking closely at Romans 8 and 6, that last part, it says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Anybody want life and peace? You can just put it in the comment bar. Yes, yes, I want it. Don't you want life? Fullness. Don't you want the peace of God with so much craziness that's going on in the world, with things being turned upside down? Don't you want to walk and being led of the Spirit and have God's peace and be spiritually minded and have the life of the Lord overwhelming you from day in and day out? That's what God wants for us. Philippians 4, 6. Listen, some of you are going to be blessed by this scripture. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I love this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He wants us to walk in His peace. He wants us to, our minds to be guarded. And so often we're suffering from all kinds of manner and disease and other issues going on in our bodies because we're not allowing the Spirit to lead us. And because of that, we're living in anxiousness. We're living in fear. We're living in stress. There ought to be some real folks that God deliver me today. When we think about God, I want you to lead us. That means peace follows. Look at Romans 8 and 8. This is a powerful scripture. So then, those who are in the flesh, are you with me? Cannot please God. Would you read that with me as you're there and you're on the chat and you're listening to it? Romans 8:8. Let's read this together. Romans 8:8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Can you write in the chat, cannot? C-A-N-N-O-T. Cannot. If you're sitting in your living rooms, wherever you are, say cannot. This is a strong scripture. Here's a point out of this. Fleshly. Yes. Fleshly. Now this is critical when we look at this scripture and it talks about that if you're living in the flesh, if you are not being led of the Spirit, you can't please God. And I know if you're saved out there, you want to please God. I don't think we literally just walk through our lives and we go, you know what? Today I am not going to please God. I do not want to please God because we have a fear. We have a reverence for God. But so often we will allow the flesh to take over and we don't realize this thought that if we're in the flesh, we are not pleasing God. We cannot please God. I was thinking about an example of this and fish. Think about a fish. Now I eat a lot of fish, pescatarian, and when I think about the fish, now you can have a good fish and you can have a bad fish. And some of you who eat a lot of fish, you'll understand the good fish don't smell as fishy. Yeah, they don't smell as fishy. And the bad fish that have been sitting out too long or just processed for a long time, they have a higher fishy smell. And the same issue in our lives when we are not in Christ and we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, we actually are fleshy. Yeah, we if I could do that same sentence, we smell fleshy. Yes, we've got all kinds of stuff that's going on. We have attitude issues, and oftentimes people don't want to confide or talk to us. They don't want to be around us because we are fleshly. We've got issues that are going on. We're not fresh as we should be, but when we get in the Spirit, there's a new smell that comes on us. There's a sweet aroma that comes around, and you'll find out more people want to be around you, not because you're a gossiper, but because you're speaking edifying words into their lives. They want to be around you because the anointing of God is upon your life. They want to be around you because they sense God can use you in healing and prayer and sanctification, being separated from the world. James 4:4 brings out this powerful thought, the Spirit-led life. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That is heavy. Saints, please understand. I realize there's so many temptations out there for all of us. But saints, if we become friends of the world, if we allow our flesh to lead us, if we're walking in the fleshly ways, please understand we have become an enemy of God. And how many people are enemies of God? How many people in a physical church today are enemies of God? How many people that have crosses on their chests and people who lift up their hands and they can shout and they can sing songs wonderfully, but they're enemies of God simply because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them? Joshua spoke this powerful verse in 24:15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Saints, there has to be a definitive conclusion that you have to come to the point and say, I want the Spirit to lead me. There's going to be some stresses and there's going to be some struggles within our life, but I want Him to lead me on a daily basis. I want to submit to His leadership. I want my flesh to be crucified and I want God to be celebrated. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Please, that 11 and 6 again. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How are you seeking Him? Are you on a daily basis, a minute by minute, second by second, hour by hour, saying, God, I need more of You? I hope you're sensing, God, even as you're listening to this, that He desires more of us. Let's look at this final verse of the day, the Spirit-led life, Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Can I read that again? Because I really, as we're pulling this together, I want you to get this. But you, say me, put it in the chat, me. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Somebody say Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, this is heavy. He is not his. Here's a point. Final point. Question. Who dwells in you? Yes. Who dwells in you? For the believer, we understand the Holy Spirit dwells in us, but we must make some conclusions, some thought patterns, some steps to say, God, I want more of you. Jesus didn't spare his words when it came to the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the day, because he wanted them to understand what was on the inside of them. And sometimes we don't want to come to a realization of the things that we're struggling with. In John 8:44, Jesus said this. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Saints, we're talking about the Spirit of later life, but some may come to the realization as I'm going through this teaching today that you really don't know Christ. You don't know who he is. You may have acted like you were a Christian. You may have went to a physical building, but you had never been changed on the inside. And to be saved, listen to me, you've got to have the Holy Spirit on the inside. I'm not talking about perfection, but I'm talking about a change. Oh, a wonderful change has come over us, and there's a desire to be more like God. There's a desire to get to know him. And even as I'm preaching through this word, there's a desire to be able to grow more in him. Look at that last part of that ninth verse. It says, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. To be saved, you must have God's Spirit. I've been saying that over and over again. You gotta have God's Spirit. We're not talking about a manifestation that has to take place. We're talking about God changing you from the inside out. You gotta have His Spirit. Scholar McDonald, he writes this, just as the fish lives in water and a man lives in the air, so a believer lives in the Spirit. He not only lives in the Spirit, but the Spirit lives in him. I feel like reading that again. Just as a fish lives in water and a man lives in the air, so a believer lives in the Spirit. He not only lives in the Spirit, but the Spirit lives in him. Somebody say, he lives in me. He lives in me. That's why it's important, so important to know what Jesus Christ did from coming from heaven to earth. We talked about that. He walked among men and healed the sick and raised the dead, but I'm so glad he didn't stop there. He goes to that cross of Calvary for us. We already read it in Peter. He took the nails in his hands and nails in his feet. He took on our sins and our griefs. He died on the cross of Calvary, but yet he got up with all power and all glory. I'm glad about it. Any glad folk? He paid the price so that we could be Spirit-led, that we could have the Holy Spirit step out in front of us on a daily basis, and that we could say, God, it's all about you. It's all about you ordering our step. Isaac Watts in 1707, he said this. He said, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Are there any happy folks? I'm happy that God has given us the ability to walk in the Holy Spirit. That in these days of so many challenges, so many struggles, that we can focus in on God, and we can say, God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And you can know that he walks with you and he talks with you and he tells you that you're his own, just to have a beautiful relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're out there and you're saying, Pastor, I don't know him. I may have thought I knew him, but going through the scriptures revealed, I am not living a Spirit-led life. I'm living an enemy-led life. I'm living a devil-led life. And if that's you, you can change that today. You can change that day by submitting, by calling on God. Say, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've got issues in my life. But I heard that you can save people like me. I heard you can save hypocrites. I heard you can save mean and hateful folks. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. It said you will be saved. He'll save you right where you are right now. And I'm telling you, when the Spirit comes in, there will be some manifestations. Yes, there will be some manifestations. You say, Pastor, I thought that you really didn't see anything, but you will know on the inside. You may not have any physical actions that happen on the outside of you, but something happens on the inside. Yes, it begins to roll like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Some people may have those physical manifestations of crying and just lifting up your hands, but you'll know that you have been saved. That's the Spirit-led life as God comes in and He begins to clean you up from the inside out. If you are saved today, all of us have more work to do. All of us can grow closer to God. All of us can have some more Bible reading. All of us can have some more prayer. All of us can have more worship of God. I encourage you to not be satisfied where you are. Think about it, saints. I believe that we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. These pandemics, what's going on in India, what's going on in Israel with the bombs and Gaza and all of those things that are occurring. And now we're just coming through a gas crisis in North Carolina and on the eastern coast. Who would have thought that people are lining up just trying to get gas and putting gas in this way and that? I'm telling you, it seems like it's one crisis after another, one crisis after another. Read the book. God says that in the last days it's going to happen like this. It's going to be like a woman having pains of labor. Those pains are going to get closer and closer and closer as we get to the point of Christ's return. Do you sense it? Do you feel it? There ought to be some hallelujahs out there. And I'm telling you, this is our time that God has left us, that we must live a Spirit-led life in God's power. He's left us here for a reason. I pray that today you decide to grow closer to God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for these 9 verses of Romans. And as we continue to walk through it on next time, Lord, thank you that your Spirit will speak and lead us. Lord, we need your anointing. Continually touch hearts, transform lives. I thank you for revival within the body of Christ, Lord. I thank you for this season, God, that you're changing us from the inside out. You're saving souls, delivering, and setting free. Lord, we just give you praise for what you're doing, and thank you for your wonderful word that you've given us. Holy Spirit, lead us, please. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from sin and from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood apply.
All right.
I'm singing glory to his name, singing glory to his name, precious name. I'm singing glory to his name, precious name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied. I'm singing glory to his name. I am so one thus was saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abide within. There at the cross where he took me in, I'm singing glory to his name. singing glory to His name, precious name. I'm singing glory to His name, precious name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied. I'm singing glory to His name.
The Spirit-led life. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to use us. He wants us to become intimately acquainted with Him. And so I encourage you as you go through this week, and talk to the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Allow Him to lead you. I'm telling you, He wants to do so much more in our lives on a daily basis. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.